on the banks of the Grand River, high above the Alora Gorge. This is the Buzzer Podcast. Indie music, new releases, industry insiders, out-of-the-box conversations with guests from the true north, from the west coast to the east coast to across the pond, and from down under. And now, here is Shay.
Hey y'all, Shay here on Air Indie. Welcome and enjoy episode 42. First music history trivia for May 4th. Stevie Ray Vaughan set out on what would be his last ever tour at the Orpheum Theater in Vancouver, British Columbia. The guitarist was killed in a helicopter crash on August 27, 1990, after a concert at Alpine Valley Music Theater in Wisconsin, after playing 107 of the 110 dates. Rest in peace. Rock, blues, and pop band, The Banquets, hailing from Leeds, United Kingdom, joined the podcast today. Gemma D, vocals, and Leon Russell Hills, guitars, are on the show. So hi, Gemma and Leon. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you very much for having us, yes.
What's it like out there in Leeds, UK?
Sunny, but very cold. It's.
Well, I was going to say grey.
Cold.
Well,
it's grey.
Well, it's been very sunny. Clear blue skies for the last week. But super cold, and then today it's a bit grey, and
Shay, it was snowing.
Oh my Lord.
It was snowing yesterday.
Oh my God! No, it's beautiful here. It's beautiful here.
I know. Yeah, I'm pretty sure on one side it was sunny, and the other side it was snowing. It was our British weather.
Yeah, here in beautiful Canada. Yeah, it's very springy. I always like to know what's happening on the other side of the world.
I know, me too.
Yeah. So we're here to feature your music, talk about the releases that you've had out. Your outstanding band.
Thank you.
You know what? Your music is a bit of rock, a bit of blues, a bit of pop.
Yeah.
It's hard to get you into any genre.
It is.
Really. I mean, you know what? Your music's so unique, I wouldn't want to put you in one.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. That, to be fair, all the guys that record us, every time we do something with them, they say each track's completely different from the last one. And they say exactly that. They don't know what box to put us in, but I quite like that.
Yeah. I never know how to define us as a genre.
I think you've hit the. Yeah, that was right. Rock, pop, blues.
Yeah. Bit of folk sometimes.
Yeah. I know. Because when you sent me your other music, I'm like, wow, is this different than the other one? You know, but they're all great. So you were part of the introducing stage of the Great British Folk Festival 2019 and 20. Was that when you formed, or have you been together for a while?
No, do you know, we haven't been together that long. I'm terrible with dates, so I'm going to have to ask Leon here. When did we have our very, very first rehearsal with Fram?
That was probably longer than you think. It was probably about 2017. Because there was quite a lot of people were coming in and out the band, and then eventually it sort of just settled on the three of us. We're sort of trying to get a bassist has left the band, so we basically just settled as a three piece. Last year. So really we started gigging properly in 2019. We just started 2020 and we got completely shut down basically because of the pandemic.
Damn you, COVID.
Across the board, hon.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Our province just went into a stay-at-home order 2 days ago. Yeah.
Ridiculous. Have you got a good vaccine?
Oh, really?
Canada, or is it slow?
I don't want to follow it because I prefer to keep in a spiritual bubble. But my husband told me today that We're only 1.9% of our population is vaccinated, which is significantly behind. And I read a headline today that there is a travel warning to Canada. Yeah.
Well, that's scandalous. I mean, to be fair, it makes no difference, because in the UK, we've got a we're way through the country now. Like, over half the country's been vaccinated and we're still in plumbing lockdown. So I'm like, well, what's the point of being vaccinated?
Yeah, you wonder.
It's weird. Yeah.
There's literally nowhere open for us to rehearse. So we have to illegally rehearse at our house. Yeah.
Well, what I've noticed since the beginning of it is music keeps adapting, and I think we'll have to continue to adapt until somebody gets their shit together.
Absolutely.
That's the way I look at it. You two had remarkably different backgrounds. Like, Gemma came from a very musical family, and Leon, you started guitar at an early age, but you didn't have that kind of a background?
No. I always wanted a guitar. So one of the first things I ever remember asking for is a guitar, and I don't know why that is. I remember listening to Buddy Holly with my mum, and she used to like old Motown stuff and things like that. And I can remember they fobbed me off with a little wooden guitar. Say I was about 3 or 4 or something. Mm-hmm. And then by the time I was 6, they got me my first full-size electric. But my family is not musical one bit at all. And my mum thought it'd be a good idea for me to learn how to play the piano. I don't know why, because I said I wanted to play the guitar. And I sort of did that all the way till I started senior school. And then everybody was playing the guitar, and I just copied them basically, and that was the start of me playing the guitar properly.
So did the training in piano help you with writing the melodies and the co-writes with Gemma?
No, I would say not. Perhaps it gave me a musical ear. I'd say that. But regarding reading music, I couldn't really translate it to the guitar. For me, when playing the guitar, 100% has always been about making songs up, rather than actually trying to learn it technically. It's been maybe like a bit of a diary or something. Like, I'd just come home and play.
So you taught yourself.
Yeah, 100%. Copying people.
Shay, it's funny. In his family, he's almost like the musical black sheep. Just nobody in the family. They're just not interested in playing an instrument or writing songs or anything that Leon is.
And talk about your family, Gemma. You had a father that was a musician.
No, well, interestingly, he wasn't. He was
had a musical background.
On my mom's side. Oh,
okay.
In fact, my mom,
I think I'm mixing you up with Fran.
Possibly. My mom's dad, he played the piano. My mom, well, she used to play the guitar. Her brother plays the guitar. Her other brother plays the drums. My cousins, one plays the guitar, the other plays the drums. They're very musical. But I think the person that really got me into music was my dad. But not because he never played a musical instrument. He never wrote songs or anything like that. It's just music was his life. He literally did. He loved every type of music: jazz, blues, Britpop,
gigs.
That's where I read about your father's influence.
Maybe it sounds that he played an instrument, but no, it was just purely his passion for music.
Okay. So did the band form through an advert, or did you know each other through the community, or?
No. So me and Leon are married, so that worked quite nicely. And then we just happened upon Fran just through a friend. I'll let you tell the story, Leon.
Well, music, first and foremost, didn't come. I was always making songs up, and it was always that Gem could sing. but it was quite frosty trying to make that work. We'd always try and make a song up together, and it would generally end in an argument. And then we just kind of, I think maybe I'd put about 10 songs together, music, and I think Jem really liked the sound of them. And that was how that part of the, that was about 2016. So we started putting perhaps about 10 songs together. And then it was just literally me and Jem as an acoustic thing that we just did in our kitchen. And then our friend went out drinking one night, and me and Jem were drinking in our kitchen. And she said, I've gone out with a couple of pals. Can I bring them back to your house? And she brought this guy back, which was Fran. And Fran's got a really big musical background. He'd been to music college. His parents are professional musicians, and his whole family are musicians. It's just a pure music family, Fran's. And we told him that we'd made some songs up, and he he sort of was ready to be sneering at us. I think he thought it was going to be rubbish. And when we played him the songs, he was like, oh, they're really cool, actually. And and then we offered him, again, I didn't think he'd accept it. I said, because he said that he played the drums. And I asked him if he wanted to come jam with us. And then the next morning we all woke up and sobered up. And I said to Jem, I'm definitely going to ask that guy if he wants to be in a band with us still. And he said, yeah. And that was that. Yeah. The rest is history.
It was a real compliment, because me and Leon, I class us both as amateurs when it comes to bands and music, but Fran is anything but an amateur. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he wanted to be in a band with us, it was nice. Yeah. Gave us some confidence.
That's amazing. I have a question to ask.
Oh, okay.
Is he knighted? On the website you call him Sir Francis Watson. I'm part Brit, so I had to ask. Is it or is it a joke?
It's a joke, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I dare say it comes from Sir Francis Drake.
I'm sure if he was here, he would tell you other.
Okay. Pretty cool. No, because the first time I went, Sir, oh my God, that's so cool. And I thought, okay, I just wanted to know if he had met the Queen. You never know. So because of the mix of your music, rock, blues, pop, we must have had diverse musical influences. Like, what kind of music influenced you as artists?
For me, I take a lot of my influence from kind of American, 70s American rock. Mm. I'm in love with Fleetwood Mac, Doobie Brothers, The Eagles. But then I also love Britpop. So, I don't know. I guess quite an eclectic influences from a variety of places. Kate Bush as well. I mean, how would you define Kate Bush?
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's just British pop, isn't she?
But, yeah.
For me, I love American music. It's like the cradle of everything, as far as I'm concerned. Even British music. I always used to think British bands were everything. And then as I got older, I sort of realised that we was replicating what was going on in America.
What bands?
So even someone like Oasis, like that's rooted in the Beatles.
Be honest,
and the
Leon.
Beatles are rooted in America, as far as I'm concerned. American music. I mean, obviously with a European twang to it, but that's essentially where it goes to. But when I was growing up, Oasis massively affected me. I can remember when I first got into them, like, I couldn't believe it. And then from there, I started getting into Bob Dylan and the band, and just that whole Joni Mitchell, that whole sort of early 70s music scene, or sort of late 60s, early 70s music scene. And then I listen to loads of old blues. So I like traditional songwriters. I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong, I like music that sort of breaks away from sort of convention, but generally I like bands and songwriters that don't reinvent the wheel per se. They just put out good lyrical content with a real good melody. And
okay,
yeah.
So basically, in my mind, you've just described Joan Jett as
who,
well.
Sorry, that broke up. Who?
Joan Jett.
Oh yes, yeah.
Like, what are your thoughts on her?
Oh, she was cool, really, really cool. Yeah, like I like pop music and pop rock. When it's done well, is excellent. And she definitely, yeah, she wrote some great pop rock songs.
Yeah, she was a groundbreaker. That's all.
Yeah,
I'm big into female vocals, female rock, which is one of the reasons why I love you guys.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the first track we're going to hear. It's your debut single, Red Sky Morning. It was released October of last year. Correct?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. I love the video. There's a lot of metaphoric things, like with you walking past the trash after a night of drinking and then into nature. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Is it all about addiction or is there more to that message?
No. I mean, I think we did an interview a while ago and I made it sound like it was. And I'm sure the video seems to tell that story as well, but no, lyrically, I remember being sat in bed one night and I was writing down some lyrics. I was going through quite a bad patch at the time. And there's one lyric in it that talks about falling off a cliff. It feels like you're falling off a cliff in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how I felt at the time, just like I was falling off a cliff, needed some kind of help. So, the music video kind of tells the story of someone who's maybe got too deep in alcohol, but truthfully, the song it's deeper than that. it has deeper meaning.
Yeah, but addiction's sort of falling off a cliff too.
It is. Yeah, it could be anything. It could be addiction, whether that's drink, whether that's drugs. It could be depression. It could be relationships. Whatever it wants.
The lyrics are very universal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're gonna listen to Red Sky Morning.
No.
I like it. And the video was directed by Entheos Media Group, which is they also directed what you're saying video.
Yes, they're cool.
And what was it like working with them?
They're great. Do you know, whenever we say to them, we've got an idea, this is what we'd like to do, even for the new video, they never go, oh, we're going to struggle to do that. They go, yeah, let's do that. And they sort of, they're as enthusiastic as we are. So it always feels like anything's possible, even with a relatively small budget. We can seem to put out really good content with them. So, yeah.
They have big ideas. It started off with a very simple idea. And then somehow ended up with me on these gargantuan rocks with a drone in the sky filming me. I'm not sure how it evolved into that, but it did.
Well, the video for what you're saying, it's fun.
Yeah, that's very different to Red Sky Morning.
Were those references, it could be just my own mind. Yeah. I was picking up a lot of political commentary.
Interesting, huge,
with the Choose Life costumes, the horse head, the ass head. Actually, at first I thought it was a horse, and I thought, no, that's an ass, right? and you guys wearing masks, sitting on a couch drinking wine.
Eyes Wide Shut.
So tell me a bit about that track.
In the UK, we've gone through quite a lot of angst since 2016. Like, everything's just gone crazy. It's just been nonstop wall-to-wall news, and I think there's just a lot of that coming out in the "Who do you think you are?" and "Who are you talking to?" There's a lot of people, I think, in the media and politicians. Just really got too big for the boots for me, and that really came out in that song.
Leon got very carried away. It's usually me getting carried away with the music videos and the dressing up, but we had a delivery and all this stuff came from Amazon. I was like, what have you been buying? And he was so excited. So he's like opening it and he brought out a fishing hat, a baseball,
basketball. Basketball. You see, there's a Dig It China in there. I don't think anyone gets it, but
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, the NBA they all came out, they took the knee, but then when it came to defending the people of Hong Kong, they apologized for what they said. And I just thought, you cowards, that is money at its highest level, and you don't really care about freedom and all the things that you say you do. You care about one thing, and that's money, and it speaks and it's powerful, and it really bugged me that. And again, it was another "Who are you talking to" kind of thing.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? But I didn't want the video to come across as super overtly political, but I did want that thread running through it, that because sometimes bands have awful takes, I think, on, including myself, I mean everyone does that, on current events. Maybe you regret them a few years after or whatever you've been thinking, but so political bands can be annoying, but at the same time, so I didn't want it to be too overt, put it that way.
Well, I love the fact that it's very upbeat, but it's a very deep topic.
Yeah.
Well, the actual title, "What You're Saying," that comes from, it's something that I don't know if you say it, but something that the younger generation seem to say, instead of saying, oh, how are you doing? Or how are things going? They say, oh, what are you saying? So that's where that comes from. And yeah, I don't know, the lyrics just evolved from there.
Okay, so we're going to listen to "What You're Saying."
Yeah.
Released February of this year. We'll be right back. So I have to ask, in the video, at the end, are you slingshotting condoms?
No.
That would have been great, though.
No, okay, oh, maybe it was where my mind went. I thought it fit with the whole thing. I was like, what are you doing?
Somebody's got a dirty mind. No, they were party poppers.
Oh, there was, wasn't there? Yeah.
Yeah.
It
took quite a few takes to get it. So it was exactly at the same time.
I watched it like four times. I kept going back,
Really?
And I'm going, I was looking at, no, it's not my mind. I was trying to put together the artistic message, right? Yeah. Like, I think, okay, wearing of the mask, choose life, the references and the political references and all that stuff. I just kind of thought it would fit.
As you know now, I wish we'd have done that.
Yeah, I know, that would have been cool.
That's
yeah.
Such a good idea.
Yeah, I was only for a artistic thing. I'm going, what is it? And I go, that's what it has to be. So I thought I'd better ask. I'm glad I actually regret I did. It's okay. I'll leave it in. Before we hear the next track, Mr. Rochester, let's talk about what your future projects that we have to look forward to. I believe you have a release, Black Mirrors, coming out May.
Yes, we do. We're currently... We've nearly finished recording
it's
it.
It's in the mixing stage, really. I think there's just a few issues with timing and whatnot to be sorted on it. There's something not quite.
It's not. Yeah, it's not to be rushed, but it's very nearly there. I love this song. The song is about Shay. Do you know what a Black Mirror is?
No.
Okay.
It's a TV show called Black Mirrors on Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? That goes. Yeah. I haven't watched TV since. Oh my god! Since maybe 2009.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing.
No, I don't watch TV. I don't watch TV. I create. And I stay away from it. I try to stay away from it.
This song then is not directed at you, and this song,
okay,
this song is about people needing to be more like that, because Black Mirrors. So if you look at a screen, whether that be on your computer, your phone, the TV, and you turn it off, it goes black, but there's still a reflection of yourself in it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a black mirror. And it's just the songs about how our devices, how much they're taking away from us.
Yeah, that's actually, and how did you come up with that metaphor?
Because I came home from work, and we were supposed to be rehearsing at our house, and there'd been a power cut for like the whole of our region of Leeds. The power had gone down. So I came home and thought, well, there's nothing else to do. So I lit a few candles because it was the winter, got my guitar out, poured some wine, made a smoke. And Jem came home. She's like, what are you doing? I said, well, there was nothing else to do. I've made a song up and showed her the sort of chord progression and everything. And then out came, did I start the lyrics? Or did you?
No, so obviously the lyrics have been tweaked, but they were kind of made them up on the spot.
Yeah.
Inspired by the power cut.
Yeah, and that was what it was about. We'd lost all our phones and everything and the telly, and out came that song basically. And there was something nice about the whole evening. Everything was candlelit and it was just a lovely evening really. And that's what came from it.
Life without the black mirrors.
Yeah.
An interesting backstory. That's an interesting backstory.
Yeah.
So we're going to listen to Mr. Rochester next.
Yep.
Can you tell us about that?
So this is, we brought out an EP in, when was it? I think it was January 2020. In fact, Fran, our drummer, he produced the entire song with our bassist at the time, Felipe. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to add this to the podcast just because this is a song that always goes down well when we play it live. The audience loves it. They always request, any of our fans that come back to watch us, they always request Mr. Rochester.
For ages, I didn't want to play it, did I?
I'd written this song.
Because it was so cheap. We just wrote it in about 30 seconds. And I was like, it just felt like so little effort went into it. But Fran and Jem belligerently kept saying, this is a great song. No, it's a good little song.
I think it's because it's different. It's folky, it's quirky, it's playful. Mr. Rochester's actually a character from, I don't know if you've ever read Jane Eyre, Charlotte Bronte.
English book, yeah.
No, well, Shay, you're not on your own, because I always ask that question before we play that song live, and nobody, I always say, does anybody know who Mr. Rochester
is? Apart from in Scarborough. That's where she was from, wasn't it?
Scarborough in the UK. She wasn't from there, but they had a very close connection with Scarborough, and everybody from Scarborough. Yes.
Yeah,
we know him, Mr. Rochester. So it's about this character in the book, Jane Eyre. And he's,
oh my God. Now, you know what? I kept going.
You do?
I know that name. Yeah. Jane Eyre. One of my favorite authors, Wuthering Heights and Jane Eyre.
Yeah.
I've said, that's why I'm kind of was silent, because my mind was going, I've heard that name. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 100% know it. Okay. Tell the listeners about him.
Yeah. Mr. Rochester, he's locked up his wife, who's called Bertha, in the attic. Mm-hmm. Because she's essentially gone mad, which obviously today we would say she's got mental health issues, but back in the 19th century they would just lock the wives up in the attic. There's more to it than that, but essentially that's what the song's about, and that, you know, things are coming to get you, Mr. Rochester. Bertha's scratching down the wall, she's trying to escape, and you can't keep her in there all this time. I love the song. I absolutely love it.
It's an amazing track. Amazing track. Now that I know what it's about, I'm going to listen to it again after the broadcast.
Yeah.
So it's amazing.
You'll like it more.
Yeah. So up next, Mr. Rochester. Was great. When did you release the song?
January 2020.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Did you not, was it not before then, Jam? You sure?
No.
It was like 100%. Was we not selling CDs at gigs? When we
played? Oh, yeah, but we hadn't released it.
What? It's not gone live on the internet?
No.
Right. No, okay. No. Yeah, it was towards the end of 2019 by the time we'd got it all finished and published and whatnot. So
yeah.
So you guys have been releasing music since you formed?
Since basically.
Yeah.
From the moment we sort of established ourselves as a three piece, that to me is the moment the band formed, because it really cemented me, Jem and Fran together. And now when we go back out, that no matter what happens, that will be the core of the band. So the moment me, Jem and Fran sort of solidified as a unit, that is when we started putting stuff out and mm-hmm. shortly after started gigging. So yeah, more or less from the get-go, from that point. But obviously me and Jem have been mm-hmm. making songs up leading up to that from about 2016. Midway. So it sometimes feels a bit disingenuous when we say, well, we started putting songs out then as soon as we started going. But really, me and Jem had been going at it for a few years before that.
But Leon, you don't tell people that.
Yes, I'm an honest guy.
Well, you formed a great band. It's a great three-piece.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
So do you believe that the label of from knowing, I saw it on quite a few reviews, you're known as an acoustic outfit. Do you think that fits your band?
It did. Right. Pre-lockdown, it did.
Yeah. Okay.
But when we go back, after the lockdown, we have a bassist starting with us on
This Friday,
so tomorrow.
Illegally.
Yeah. There's a lot of them, though. Yeah, we're rehearsing tomorrow. And with this new guy, my guitar is swapping from an electric acoustic to like a... Oh, I forget the name of the guitar I'm buying. But like a big sort of electric semi-acoustic style. Fran's getting a small drum kit, and we're going to start putting out a much bigger sound Yeah, so that'll be the aim.
And I'll just stay the same.
Yeah, well, the band won't effectively change that much, but we'll try and be sounding a bit bigger. That's the thing.
Yeah, the reason I asked, because I was introduced to your band, when I first saw the track, What You Say. So when I saw that, that's, you know, what my initial was like, no, that doesn't fit. But it does, but it doesn't. And that's why I wanted to bring it up. Your sound has definitely evolved.
Yeah, it has.
That's the thing. That really is the thing. Mm-hmm. If you look on YouTube, we have some sessions on, it was on this balcony, and that is us as a four piece. And Fran is playing a cajon instead of a drum kit. And that really is the Banquets there as what we was before Felipe left, the bassist.
Yeah.
And I'd like to take up from that point again, but with a full drum kit and me on an electric guitar, and it just starting to have a bit more energy about it. Not that it lacks energy. It lacked so much energy before, and it certainly was soulful before. Mm-hmm. But when we go back, I want it to, because we have a great laugh when we're on stage.
Yeah,
don't
I
we,
love
Jen?
It.
And we really, it's not like an acoustic act. We really, it's quite hard. I play the guitar like it's an electric, and we create a really big sound, or as big a sound as three people can make. It's not dreary. It's an energetic concert that we do. But when we go back, I want that to be more entrenched.
I think it suits the band, and I agree with what you're saying. So where did you gig prior?
All
yeah,
over.
We've been really lucky.
We're doing really well. It was such a shame.
It was. Yeah. The only place we haven't, obviously there's lots of places we haven't, but in the UK, London, we finally scheduled our first London gig, which I think is in July.
Yeah, it seems on your website, you're starting gigs starting June.
Yes, that's it. Oh, so excited. So excited.
But we got Jem's dad was his best man at his wedding?
No, but they were best friends all
so
the
Jem's
way through school.
So Jem's dad's best friend all the way through school. It's like he has like an events company, and he puts gigs on, and all the old big acts. He basically puts them on all over the country, doesn't he, Jem?
Yeah,
and through Jem's mum bumped into him one day and said, oh, Leon and Gemma are in a band. They're really good. You should listen to him. He listened to us. And he's luckily just the second he heard us, he started getting us pretty big gigs straight away, didn't he? You know, we went from sort of playing small local events with about 30 people there, 20 people there, to packed 400 people. And through doing that over a year, basically, from basically January 2019 to January 2020, by the time we'd got to that, again, all over the country we was going with that, or all over the north of the country, we really sort of refined our act, and we've just been lucky that we met him, really.
Very lucky.
So are all these gigs that are on the website, Cleat Harps, Mexboro, London, Halifax, Manchester, Grimsby, there's two of them, Mexboro, are they all set to happen between June and November of this year?
They should do.
Yeah.
The thing is, there's not really any deaths happening in the UK now. I can't understand why we're even in lockdown anymore. It makes no sense to me. None of it makes any sense, but I can't see how they could possibly justify not running gigs. Maybe when the autumn comes and it all starts coming back again, who knows? But for the summer, I can't see why on earth they'd stop any of these gigs. It's spiteful, if you ask me, if they do it.
Yeah, they won't. I think they'll go on.
Yeah.
Well, it was pretty awesome to see when it went on your gigs tab, and I saw that, because it overall, most of the bands still and the artists have their gig pages to be announced, which is quite sad. Yeah. Quite sad. So it was cool. Made me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me happy.
Yeah, it really makes me happy.
Yeah. Well, I loved having you guys on the show. Before we go, I'd like to know, where is it best to find you and follow you?
So I would say to download our music. Mm-hmm. Spotify, definitely Spotify and Apple Music, and it's all Amazon free.
Or to be fair, on all of them, YouTube,
yeah,
anywhere where you can stream music, you can find us.
Spotify and Apple are the top ones, and then to follow us, obviously there's our website, banquets.net,
YouTube,
Facebook,
definitely YouTube. If people can go to our YouTube and subscribe to us, sort of once every 3 months, we put out a proper music video. And hopefully we're going to start filling in the gaps with more regular content of just smaller performances that we're doing at the studio down the road, live performances. So, yeah, YouTube's a good place to watch us, to actually sort of put us on the telly. And then Twitter, Facebook, you can track us down on there.
You're all over the place.
Everything.
Cool. All the links will be on the podcast site with your profile. So that's good. The reason I ask, some bands are centered on Instagram, some on Twitter, and some just a website. So I always like fans to know before we end a show.
Okay.
Yeah. So thank you very much for coming on. Best of luck with your music. I love your music. Here and keep me in the loop.
We said
thank you for having us on the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please share this episode with others and post about it on social media. To catch all the latest from The Buzzer and upcoming shows, you can follow us on Instagram at The Buzzroll Media and on Twitter at The Buzzer Indie. Catch you at the pod next episode, On Air Indie, from iPad to yours over the airways. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.